Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here, sitting across from me, my beloved.
Right here, right now, Mike Cosentino is in the studio, and we're going to talk this morning about, my phone burning up here. Mike on?
No. Now it is.
Well, here we go. Good morning. This is Mike Cosentino. Now that his microphone is on, we are going to talk about stuff. We're going
to
talk
the hand signal to turn off your mic. I think he misread it. I didn't want it turned off yet. Mike.
Just turn it down.
Turn it down a little.
No, we're going to talk national lobbying this morning. I spent some time on the telephone in the last week and got some texts and some Facebook messages from people that, you know, that want to talk about this movement to make a national monument around Sedona.
Yes.
In fact, exactly where and what it is. We have Peggy Chaikin with us this morning as a spokesman for that group. And there's a great big ad in the Sedona Red Rock News, August 28th, full page ad explaining the position, which is, I think, is great. One of the things that the phone callers to jump right into this, I got was transparency, transparency, transparency. Why are you, somehow it became me, trying to push this thing through?
We need to talk about the process of doing national monuments.
Yeah.
National monuments start in 1906. And what's happening is that sensitive geographical sites, say Devil's, Post Pile, is that what it's called in Wyoming? That's a different monument, but, what happens is that native areas and sensitive ecological areas and others are being destroyed by development. And local interests block, for example, the Grand Canyon from being protected. Powerful local politicians, local mining and ranching industries prevent it from being able to get through Congress. So Congress passes a law allowing the President of the United States, and remember the President of the United States and the Vice President are the leaders of the country, and you cannot like, you know, the fact that it's Obama, but they are the only officials in the United States elected by the whole people. The word, when you talk about a national monument, the key word is national. The monuments are supposed to be of national significance, and it allows the president, and of course you can do it through Congress too, to intervene to protect already existing federal public lands from development. And it was designed to get around and unencumber the process. So it's been going on since 1906. I think there are about 117 national monuments. There's 81 national parks. There's 480 taken all together protected areas. Right. So it's a process that's been going on for decades and decades and decades. So as I understand it, Peggy, KSB, Keep Sedona Beautiful. And I think, could you tell us a little bit, because when I look on the internet, I see people don't even know what KSB is. They arrived in Sedona yesterday. They don't, and so there's all this projection of conspiracy and hatred on poor little KSB, which I have known people in KSB for, a decade or more than a decade. And when I first met them, I thought, these are very, very sweet, nice people. And most of the people I met were Republicans. I mean, they were sort of mainstream Republicans who were interested in the environment over there. And they had built an organization. KSB has been around, right, Peggy, since 1972.
Yes. KSB has been in Sedona for a long time. It has a good reputation in Sedona as being an organization that's thoughtfully worked on projects, local projects, to, as they say, keep Sedona beautiful. It's a interesting organization. They have presentations and meetings, and they do things like they've worked on trying to keep the signs in Sedona at a reasonable level so that the commercialization of the strip, which is 89A, does not overwhelm the beauty of the Red Rocks.
You don't want the place to end up like Gatlinburg, right, which is outside of the Smoky Mountains.
Well,
National
Park. You can't see the beauty for the strip, which is the way Sedona was developed. So, also, they have a group that does litter lifting. I mean, they branch out. There are a lot of people that are involved in Keep Sedona Beautiful that are, because of that, joined other organizations that keep the forest, picked litter picked up, and other environmentally engaged citizens. And I think it's been very responsive to what the public wants around Sedona and in Sedona, which is what its name is. Keep Sedona Beautiful.
Now, they've tried to have national scenic areas, three or four times before. I moved here in 2003, they'd already tried once to do a national scenic area. Why were they doing? What is their motivation to declare part of the forest a scenic area to start with? Now they're talking about a national monument, but for years it's been a scenic area.
Well, you have to realize that Sedona is a popular area, and it's been promoted through businesses and individuals, and an article spreads in the New York Times about the beauty of Sedona. People come here and love to be out in nature, and the area surrounding Sedona is a national forest area. It's managed by the U.S. National Forest. It belongs to the whole country as a national forest.
Just the fact that we live next to it doesn't mean that the people in Sedona own the forest around here. It's not our property. It's the property of the American people, right, as a whole.
Yes. We are a private bubble of private property that's been enjoyed by people who can live here and develop businesses and be, as the forest signs used to say when I lived in Cottonwood, National Forest, land of many uses. The National Forest has a reputation for encouraging many uses, recreational, grazing, all kinds of interfaces with the population that lives within them. So we've been living this way for a long time, surrounded by the National Forest, which is run by our federal government. And so Keep Sedona Beautiful has been endeavoring over the years to protect the area from what has happened in some other cases where there have been land trades, where a holding that is near a very popular area, such as Sedona, a place that might be commercially appealing to a developer or someone who might want to make a planned area development or a resort, would look at a piece of property and say, I have a piece of property that is further away and more remote and easier for the Forest Service to manage. Will you trade me this property near Sedona, which has a lot of management issues, for my more remote property? And the Forest Service would say, yes, we would like to snatch up this property that is a private inholding in the National Forest in a more remote area for this property that borders a very developed area, and we'll do that trade with you.
So a big chunk right next to Sedona could suddenly become private property and be a windfall of money to whoever ended up with it, right?
Exactly. It could become any number of things. It could become a place where many more people start living, where you have more wells, or in a planned area development type of scenario, you would have a large well to provide the water, or you would hook into the water system of the town, or it might be too remote for that. It's kind of a, we live in a fragile area, and I think the the bottom line was try to get the forest, the U.S. Forest Service, to acknowledge that.
So they've been fighting for a particular clause in the National Forest Plan. KSB has for years, right?
Well, the U.S. National Forest Plan has an amendment in it now, which was really fought for by the citizens, including people in KSB, to say that there would be no land trades, and so Sedona would not sprawl out into the beautiful area surrounding it. And they were successful. I'd say we, because I live in Sedona now. I used to live in Cottonwood. I lived in Clarkdale. I taught school in Camp Verde. I've lived in Flagstaff. It's a region-wide issue. To say this particular area with its beauty beyond compare, many people say, should be protected from having all of a sudden some kind of a change happen that would be drastic, where a development would be in an area where you might hike or you might have always looked at, and now in the distance you see a golf course or something. So what they've done was they put in this amendment called Amendment 12. Amendment 12 was part of the management plan of the Forest Service for many years. It said that there would be no land. It would be the aspiration of the Forest Service not to have land trades. It would be, I can't quote you the exact wording in it, but it is not a final, there will never be land trades statement, because pressures can be placed on the Forest Service that would be beyond what we could foresee at that moment.
So it's good, but it's not protective enough. And that's why KSB
has...
It's not permanent.
It does not say permanent.
Okay.
Permanent.
No. And so it has to be renewed every 10 years. And even then, it sounds a little bit weak. And so KSB is trying to get something stronger done.
I wouldn't say KSB is trying to get something stronger done.
Okay.
I think people who live in this area have a long time have been aware of this Amendment 12 and the weakness of it. And in the community plan for Sedona, the one of the major goals was to protect this area around Sedona. And so the people in Sedona voted for the community plan with that in mind. And the city council asked Keep Sedona Beautiful to please look into how we can accomplish this, how we can make it so that we do not have this type of all of a sudden Amendment 12, and now the new management plan also has a paragraph in it that is basically the same as Amendment 12, not apply anymore. All of a sudden, things have changed. I hope you're all following me, but there's a edginess to this because pressure is constantly on the national forest in areas that are very popular and have management problems for the Forest Service because of limited funding to them due to the fact that the budgets have been cut so much. And that the forest fires take up a lot of the Forest Service money. So in places like Sedona, it's a pressure cooker for getting more money by maybe trading off something that has a lot of value.
So
not
you
to say
trade a small piece of Sedona around the area around Sedona for a larger piece in Wyoming.
So that's the
somewhere.
Fear. I think we get the fear that development will happen on the 160,000 acres. And who or what is the Monument Work Group? It says, I'm looking at the ad, full-page ad, August 28th in the Red Rock News. The Monument Work Group called to action by the City of Sedona.
Well, that is because the City of Sedona said, please Keep Sedona Beautiful. Will you take this on to do research to find out what are the possibilities for us?
So the Monument Work Group is representatives of Keep Sedona Beautiful, or
starting out that way. I have to start somewhere.
Right.
I remind everyone that we're all volunteers, And it's really not a commercialized group. It's not a polished corporate entity. It's a group of volunteers who were asked to take on a project. And each person in that group who had time out of their lives, most of them retirees, and some expertise in an area, took on an area to look into what were the possibilities.
And I want to say this because I don't get texts and emails during the show. You can ask questions every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m. at the KSB building, 360 Brewer Road. We'll say it again at the end of the show. Weekly public meetings, Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m., KSB building, 360 Brewer Road in Sedona. The phone number is 282-4938. The email address is ksb@keepsedonabeautiful.org. Ask your questions at ksb@keepsedonabeautiful.org via email. Go to the public meeting, give them a call. I believe one of the complaints I got was transparency. They trying to be transparent. I usually say at the top of the show that we are a partisan show. We don't pretend to tell both sides. We have a position here. In this case, the name of the show is Democratic Perspective. We think
National
Monument is a good idea. However,
neither of us were involved in drafting.
Neither of us were involved in any.
We're not.
It also says over the next 10 months, we'll help shape the final management recommendations and proposal. So they're looking for direction and input. Some people that one of my callers represented thought it was a done deal and was going to Obama's desk next week, that it was going to be done this fall. So we want to make sure that that part is addressed. We want to talk about water rights. Gun rights. We want to talk about all those things that came up, all the questions that came up in earlier Red Rock News ads. There were some excellent, excellent questions. Now, regardless of that the supporters, the Monument Work Group and Keep Sedona Beautiful and the supporters of a national monument in the forest around Sedona believe that these questions are self-evident. Apparently they're not. Not when it comes to many of these things, these basic questions of private property rights, water rights, and gun rights are things that send people through the roof.
Yeah. Peggy, what's the timeline on this? Because I will say that KSB was slow in getting out a timeline so that you got a whole series of demands for things before it was the time to do them. In other words, where's the money and you don't even have the proposal ready, and that kind of thing. I will say, when I look at the national monuments around here, and you look at them, most of them are done by the Bureau of Land Management. It's not the Park Service. And, for example, here's one, and I think this is Agua Fria. And it says, uses expressly authorized by the proclamation. And here's the question for you, Peggy. It says, disposal of land by exchange to further protective purposes of the monument, to further the protective purposes of the monument. So it allows land change. In fact, all three monuments that I looked at allow land exchanges to further the protective purpose of the monument. All of them exercise valid existing rights. So if you have rights to there, all of them protect grazing rights, laws, and so forth. All of them allow motorized and mechanized vehicles on designated roads. All of them allow hunting and fishing, recreation and rights of way, scientific research and access to inholding and other valid interests. What they prohibit generally, if you look around here, and it's kind of put in a complicated way, is entry, location, selection, sale and leasing, or otherwise disposition under public land laws. You can't sell them, right?
Exactly. You can't sell them. You can't trade them off.
Location, entry. See, a lot of damage can be done by entry. That is just exploring under mining laws. So it shuts down mining.
Right. We do not really have much. We don't have mining here anyway to begin with.
And all of them that I saw, and I looked at the Grand Canyon National Monument, and Agua Fria and several others, all of them prohibit off-road motorized and mechanized vehicles except in emergency and administrative purposes. In other words, you can go on all the roads and all the trails. You just can't rip up the forest with your ATV.
Or, yes, that's true. And the Forest Service, the U.S. Forest Service, has maps that show where the ATVs are to go. It's a tremendous management plan to...
Hundreds of miles of trails, right?
Management problem, I would say, to make it apparent to people on the vehicles like that, be it their own or rented, that's important to stay on those roads. There's more that needs to be done with signage. There needs to be done with fixing the places that have been damaged so that they don't become like a trail that someone would go on that became a trail. It takes a long time for the land to heal. And then you end up with somebody else going out there who might not have the same expertise in finding their way back, or they might even go further. And then you have rescues that cost a lot of money and can cause real damage to people who lose their lives out there.
Okay, Mike mentioned hunting and fishing, and none of the stuff that I saw for the other monuments prohibits hunting and fishing. In fact, what about the monument you're proposing here, or KSP?
We're not talking about wilderness areas here. We have wilderness areas here. But this is a national monument. The national monument will be managed by the United States Forest Service under a management plan that will be developed by them with the full use of the knowledge of the hunters and the fishermen. And I believe that those rules will be the same as they are right now in the Forest Service that surrounds us.
And your proposal
says there will be any change in that.
Your proposal says that the Arizona Fish and Game Department will manage wildlife just like they do now.
As they do now.
Yeah.
As they do now.
And you're not planning to close down existing roads and trails to ATVs. You couldn't do it anyway, but I mean,
I would really like it if you could change the pronoun you to we, because I would like to see this become a community-wide engagement, which is the same thing that happened with the community plan. This is a call for community engagement. This is not a baby born full grown. This is not something that is a prepackaged endeavor. This is something that took research into previous petitions for national monuments and what they asked for. And another part of it is tailor-making it for our particular needs of our community. This is a call for people to come together in a reasonable way, listening, and adding the information that they have, the expertise they have, which is fact-based, not fear-based, fact-based.
Well, there's certainly a lot of the fear-based around it. We've heard, and I just want to mention, I've realized that, you know, it's like that which must not be named, but that which is named, that there's going to be shuttles through the area because it's a national monument. Not true, right, Peggy?
I would say this about our problem with transportation. That is something that the city council has, I think, on as one of their foci to think about working with ADOT in terms of what transportation issues Sedona has because of the layout of the whole town of Sedona having one highway that goes through it and another highway coming in from VOC and problems with Oak Creek Canyon. Those are issues that need to be addressed, definitely.
But the management plan doesn't call for shuttles. It doesn't call for ending hunting rights. It doesn't call for ending private property rights. It doesn't call for ending water rights. It doesn't call for so many things. And some
the management plan is in the formative stage, and those things have been declared to be the goal of the management plan is to support those usages.
So the management plan is still being formed, and if you want input, that was the other issue. When Tom Halloran made a speech or two referring to him specifically, and people asked, could certain safeguards that they were interested in be put into the management plan as far as some water rights, he indicated that they couldn't. We are however his statement was interpreted, correctly or incorrectly, that the, as Peggy said, the management plan is still being formed, and whether or not those safeguards go into the plan may or at least needs to be discussed. If you have an issue, then you probably need to go to a meeting or write one, talk to some of the people at the locations that we've already mentioned and we'll mention again, to see if your individual issue or your individual property or your individual concern can be put in, protected in the management plan.
Understand that, that national monuments affect land already owned by the federal government. They're not, they don't affect, they're not, they don't seize private land at all. They don't do anything like that. They change the status of already existing public land. That's the law. And they protect it in different ways. And each national monument is slightly different. I've looked at a whole bunch of the ones around us, and they're very similar, in terms of what they do and what they don't. I mean, there is one monument in California that prohibits lumbering, for example, as part of the plan. But mostly we don't have that here. Why, Peggy, and, you know, KSB is asked to come up with some way to protect the area. Why did they switch from a national scenic area, which they've introduced these bills before? And frankly, in the past, it's not been a hugely controversial thing. The most of the people who are interested in the environment are all in favor of it. The Realtors Association leadership is always opposed to it because they don't want any land to be taken out of the possibility of them being able to sell it. It's what I understand. They have a basic axiom. And they recruit their people and the environmentalists and the rest of the people in Sedona who are interested in protecting public lands and stuff are on the other side. This time it's something different has happened, I think.
Well, it's been a crap storm. The misinformation has been huge, and whether it was realtors or just the general anti-government mistrust.
What's happened is I agree, Mike.
Yeah.
For those of us from the outside, I know, Peggy, from those of us on the outside, we see an absolute storm of misinformation, slanderous attacks on KSB and so forth and so on. It set off something that never happened before. Why did KSB, as the people who were initiating the proposal, switch to a national monument rather than the national scenic area proposal?
Well, the National Scenic Area was worked through, and Ann Kirkpatrick brought it up and was in committee, and it did not make it as a through the House. It might have made it through the Senate. There are a lot of negativity in terms of passing anything for Obama's administration. And so our endeavor went by the wayside.
It needed a supermajority because of when it was elected. So even if it had a majority in the House, it needed a supermajority to leave the House.
Right, right. So as a community backing that, we lost out to the forces that interplay in Washington. National monument status does not require that type of procedure. It goes under the Antiquities Act, and the president can sign for that. And so our hopes are to basically get the same kind of regulation that would prevent land trades and would elevate the status of our national forest lands from just the general bucket of national forest lands to another status. National Scenic Area would have been a great status for us, but we were prevented in doing that. So we are going for the possibility, and hopefully this will happen, of the national monument status.
I do want to mention that listening to Peggy and listening to Tom, we did a show on this in June or in July. Tom O'Halloran sat here and talked about But and the phone calls that I've gotten, the emails that I've received, we're on the same side here. Everybody wants, whether you're a hunter, a fisherman, an antiquities lover, a hiker, you want to preserve the beauty around Sedona. Everybody's an environmentalist to some degree or
it's
another.
Not just
nobody
the
wants to, nobody wants to see the area destroyed, poisoned, developed beyond recognition. Nobody wants that, including realtors.
In fact, having national monument status would
add to land value beyond
increase the value of your land,
right,
and your house.
That's a whole other show.
So
you can talk about as a group. They may have a position against it, but individually, with land values going up, they may be for it. But we want to say that it seems like everybody's on the same side, and that's to preserve as best we can the natural beauty of the Sedona area. Once again, on September 15th at 5:30 in the village of Oak Creek, this is on the Democrats of the Red Rocks website. There is a meeting. That's on the 15th of September, 5:30 p.m. at the clubhouse in the Village of Oak Creek. Clubhouse, Village of Oak Creek.
Is this the one sponsored by KSB and other people in favor of it?
Community meeting, and it is sponsored by KSB and open to open discussion about it. It's also a form of information gathering by KSB.
I couldn't find it on their website.
I had a problem finding it just now on their website. Once again, I apologize, but it is, we're telling it to you now, and it will be in the paper. There'll be an ad in the paper for it. There are flaws in the communication loop for this, but I think the aspirations of the public here, we're working on including all of the aspirations.
President Obama has always opened everything up. In other words, even when it goes to the president's desk, it still, in his process, has always opened it up to the community for comment and suggestions and stuff. So even if a finished proposal goes to the president, there's still a lot of discussion. There's a lot of review and stuff.
But a lot of
the monuments, though, Peggy, have a particular thing. So the national, what do they call it? The Grand Canyon Watershed National Monument Proposal has three central things. One, it stops you further uranium mining in the watershed of the Grand Canyon. That's what it does. Number two, it provides huge trails, kind of mega trails of animals, because there's a huge movement of deer up and down the mountainside. So what it does, the Forest Service will be taking it over. I think maybe even the BLM is partially in it. Remember, folks, they can have multiple agencies managing a national monument now. So it has a thing that protects wildlife. That has a lot of support for hunters, right? Okay. What is the key to the national monument that's being proposed here in Sedona? What are the key things that it does, like preventing uranium mining, like providing better corridors for wildlife to increase wildlife prosperity, I guess you'd say?
There are many aspects to what needs to be protected here in the Sedona. And now we've included some of the Upper Verde areas, antiquities that are seen and unseen by the public, yet to be discovered by drone photography and treasure hunters. There are water resources that are not tapped out completely that might be so problematic in the future that we, just like California, needs to take into account limiting that tapping out by having unreasonable growth. There's the recreational enjoyment of the area by people, tourists who come here and people who live here and think that they are the first person here and the last person here. And they really are not. But if there is trash when they're on the trail, and even micro trash, then their enjoyment of the area is ruined. If there's graffiti, if rocks and grinding stones are removed from different sites that you might find because they're uncovered in a stream bed, then your experience and your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren's experience is diminished.
There needs to be an education program. Climbing around on the ruins, on the walls of the ruins, is illegal. You can't do that. You can't take archaeological materials from any site on public land. If it's on your land, you can. It's yours. If you're on your private land, any archaeological stuff is yours, except a burial.
And again,
a burial has to be treated in a different thing. But if it's not a burial, that's yours. But this is public land that belongs to the whole American people, and you can't just grab stuff and haul it off somewhere.
And again, as far as I'm concerned, a lot of this is like people that wanted to ban books. They never read them, and they would go to meetings to ban them. Some of the things that I've been asked in the last week are on the websites of the Sedona Verde Valley National Monument website. When it comes to water rights, when it comes to private property rights, what isn't on the website? One of the questions I got was from a school board member is, we get money from the Forest Service, he said. The school districts get money from the Forest Service. What happens to that money if that land is now controlled by National Monument?
It's not a change in control. It'll still be controlled by the Forest Service, and all of their rules and regulations will apply. All of their processes will apply, permitting processes, how they regulate the money, the tax money. All of that is the same. The management plan will be more groomed to the specific needs of this area. But the monument is not another government entity. The monument is an elevated status for the area to keep it in its form that it is now as much as possible, so that it serves us all as citizens from generation to generation in the best possible quality for quality of life.
Well, that's it. And the other, thank you. The other, you probably want to have that tattooed on your forehead before long, because you're going to get lots of questions. Firearm use. The response has been, if target shooting in designated areas, if you can't hunt there now, you're not going to be able to hunt there later. This is still controlled by the Arizona Game and Fish and the Forest Service. I don't know how much hunting there actually is on this 160,000 acres around Sedona, but
it's not a great hunting area. There is hunting, and people do hunt deer and bears, and sort of pretty much everything.
Javelina.
So there is hunting. Yes.
Kill them all.
It's not a great.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
No, it's not a great. It's not a great super hunting area, but that doesn't change. So the hunting rights don't really change, and
target shooting and designated areas.
Target shooting has to be in designated areas, and there are those in the forest now. What I'm wondering is, why is it important to do this? Why is it important to do this, Peggy, rather than just leave things like they are? I mean, why initiate? I know the city council put it on KSB to come up with a plan for protecting the thing, but why do we need to do this rather than just sit on our laurels and think everything's going to be okay?
Hope for the best.
Think everything's going to be okay.
Well, that's why. They don't want to hope for the best.
Why have a community plan? Why go through the process of having a community plan and engage in the community and visitors here in deciding what they want best for the area? Do you do that so you take that plan and, as they always say, is a cliche, put it on the book, a nice binder, get a new binder cover in 10 years, get a new community plan? Or do you actually take it to heart and say, this is a mandate given by the people to do this aspiration that the citizens have voted on and actually be a council that is action oriented and uses the community plan as a roadmap for a successful future for Sedona, both economically and aesthetically and environmentally.
And folks, literally, bottom line, the literal bottom line of this is July 2016. They hope, the management group, the Monument Work Group, hopes to be able to send this forward in July 2016. As of tomorrow, I believe, it's unless the Republicans say it's not, tomorrow is September 1st, 2015. And so this is, we have all of this time to discuss it. I believe that the entities involved are trying to be transparent. We're talking about the work group. We're talking about Keep Sedona Beautiful. We're talking about those two organizations. We're talking about the City of Sedona City Council. Have all discussed this issue and continue to discuss it. And July 2016 is the literal bottom line of this. So I guess I'm asking for a little chill out. Let's talk a little bit. Let's go to those people that you trust. If it's a city council person, if it's a friend that's in Keep Sedona Beautiful, if it's a friend in Democrats of the Red Rocks, somebody whose word that you have valued in the past and will continue in the future, go to them. Talk to them about the National Monument issue. It still could go either way. Definitely, it's not a done deal. It's lastly, if anything, but a done deal. So let's keep the conversation going. I have to admit, the rhetoric I've heard, to be honest, in the last couple of weeks was that it was a done deal the other way. That the votes, the discussion, the letters to the editor were all so.
The misinformation about even what a national monument
was winning
is astonishing. The hysteria about it happening has just been astonishing. What else, Peggy? You've only got a couple of minutes. Do you have any kind of last words? I mean, we could go through some of the criticisms. One of the criticisms of the monument is it'll bring more tourists, right? For example, there's a whole list of most of them to me are nonsense, but yeah, having a national monument designation might bring more tourists here. So you have to answer a whole bunch of questions like that. But couple of minutes, sum up what you're trying to do.
When Oprah and Al Pacino talk about, you know, their land in Sedona, I'm not sure that it hasn't already been discovered. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, I would say this. There's a lot of fear that's driving some of the information that's out there, and that can create a wall for understanding and a wall that prevents a person from doing research on their own. I got involved with this by researching other national monuments and seeing what they are and what they do. Many people spend time on Facebook researching comments that people have made back and forth and commenting on that. I would advise folks that love being on the internet to spend their time doing some research on their own to find the facts about national monuments and the process that goes on with national monuments. Tourism is another issue, and that can take I'd love to be here with the Chamber of Commerce to talk about that, because I think that's something that is a wonderful thing to discuss in terms of the national monument and how the elevated status will help tourism here in Sedona and how we can work together to solve the problems of transportation
so
in that
light. Whether you belong to the Chamber of Commerce or not, you can go to the meeting September 15th in the Village of Oak Creek Clubhouse at 5:30. You can send an email to ksb@keepsedonabeautiful.org. You can go to one of their weekly meetings on 360.
You can go on their Facebook page and say, hey, what's the story? And if somebody said that, you know, that the world is going to turn upside down if we have a national monument, is that true?
That's right. We want to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks.
for helping to sponsor it.
For helping to sponsor the wonderful Democratic Perspective, and our show is on VVID.org.
And we'll do more programs on this. Thank you. You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.